हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So this morning we discussed the fifth chapter till 27th verse. No, 37th verse, right? 37th verse. The final touch is by the Lord's glance. Now 38 we will discuss. Ete deva kala vishnoham kala mayam shalinginah नानात्वात् स्वक्रियानीशः प्रोचुः प्रांजलयो विभुम्।
कंट्रोलिंग डीटीज ऑफ ऑल द अबव मेंशन्ड फिजिकल एलिमेंट्स आर एम्पावर्ड एक्सपांशंस ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु। दे आर एम्बॉडीड बाय इटर्नल टाइम अंडर द एक्सटर्नल एनर्जी एंड दे आर हिज पार्ट्स एंड पार्सल्स। Because they were entrusted with different functions of universal duties and were unable to perform them, they offered fascinating prayers to the Lord as follows. Hmm.
So at this stage of the creation, all these elements were existing, all the senses and gross elements, tanmatras, false ego, then mahatattva, all these elements were existing, but they are not mixed with each other. Because of not having combined with each other, they felt very helpless in performing their service. So why? What is the service? They need to combine with each other and form various bodies so that jivas can enter those bodies in various species, in various planets, and the purpose of creation can be fulfilled. So that is the purpose of these elements. But these elements were staying separately, so creation cannot progress. So all of them started offering prayers to the Lord. Now at this stage of creation, when there is nothing, how did the elements get the knowledge to pray? And who are actually praying? So elements are praying. There are actually the predominating deities for each of these elements. So those elements are offering prayers, and by the mercy of the Lord, spontaneously all of them have developed the necessary senses to render, to offer these prayers. By the Lord's mercy, they have gained bodies and senses with which they offer these prayers. So the ability to offer prayer to the Lord is also coming from the Lord. The necessary equipment to offer these prayers, that is also coming from the Lord. And the knowledge with which one glorifies the Lord, that is also coming from the Lord. So without the Lord's intervention, nothing can move. Not a blade of grass moves without Lord's sanction, we say like that, right? So this shows that everything is dependent on the Lord. For the Mahatattva to transform into false ego, for the false ego to generate these 23 elements, for all the transformations, Lord's glance is needed. And now the predominating deities of these 23 elements are offering prayers to the Lord. The senses with which they offer those prayers, they are also coming from the Lord. The bodies with which they offer those prayers, that is also coming from the Lord. The knowledge was also bestowed to him from the Lord. So everything is by Lord's mercy. So here, ete devaha kala vishnoho. These devaha, these demigods, are considered kala, the partial expansions of Lord Vishnu. Because Lord expands into various expansions by his energies. So all these elements are from the material energy of the Lord. So in that sense, they are also expansions of the Lord. So yad bhavya bhavya, this is the next verse. Ete devaha kala vishnoho kala mayamsha linginaha. Kala mayamsha linginaha, maya amsha. They are all the amshas of Lord's external potency. Right? Sunanavat Svakriyanishaha Prochuhu Pranjalayo Vibhum. They started offering prayers to the Lord by with folded hands. So Prabhupada explains the position of the demigods in this beautiful purport. It's a little elaborate purport. So these controlling deities of all these elements, physical elements, are empowered expansions of the Lord. They are the demigods, and demigods generally stay in the higher planetary systems and they control the affairs of the universe. So other living entities like human beings, animals and birds, etc., they are controlled by these elements, these demigods. So demigods are definitely great devotees of the Lord. And those are the devotees who are entrusted with responsible services in the universal government system. Right? Different people are heading different departments. Yamaraj, criminal department. Indra, rain department. Right? Vayu, air department. Agni, fire department. Like that, they are holding different posts. What should be the attitude of devotees towards these demigods? Prabhupada explains, devotee of the Lord is never controlled by such deputed demigods. And devotee never disrespects those demigods. Devotee respects those demigods. At the same time, devotee does not think that these are independent personalities. He never thinks that they are supreme. They are subordinate controllers under the supreme controller, Krishna. And they are devotees of the Lord, taking care of the certain affairs in Lord's service. In that capacity, they always respect the demigods, but they never worship the demigods with the attitude of they are the supreme controllers. They never think like that. So Lord is equal to everyone. However, different people derive different benefits from the Lord depending on their mental disposition, their internal disposition. Now demigods, why they have become demigods? Demigods are also living entities. The other jivas are also living entities. Animals are also living entities. Birds are also living entities. Human beings are also living entities. Why some living entities are becoming the demigods? So predominantly there are two categories of living entities in this world, material world. Some living entities have a tendency to control the material nature, to lord over the material nature. They have a contaminated consciousness of lording over their conditioned souls. And there are other living entities, they have a pure consciousness of rendering service to the Lord. Now between these two living entities, there is another category of living entities who have a mixed consciousness of both rendering service to the Lord and also controlling the material nature. Such people who have mixed consciousness are made into demigods. You become managers. You want to render service, then you can serve. You want to control, you can control as a part of my service. So all these demigods are controllers of different aspects of the universal administrative system. They have controllership. They can exercise their controlling mentality. At the same time, that controllership is a part of their service. However, by rendering this service to the Lord, if they can transform their mixed consciousness into pure consciousness, they can become pure devotees, they can go back to Godhead. But if their mixed consciousness goes towards the contaminated consciousness of only controlling over and not rendering service, Lord has to intervene and correct them. Right? Indra was corrected by the Lord in Govardhan episode. Brahma was corrected by the Lord in Brahma Vimohan Leela. Like that. So these are all bona fide servants, but they have a tinge of controllership. That's why they are into demigod category. But they have a service attitude. They are definitely great Vaishnavas. They give us a lot of lessons of service attitude, gratitude, and extending themselves to serve the Lord. All this lessons they give. They are definitely exalted Vaishnavas. We must respect them for what they are. At the same time, they have a tinge of controlling mentality. They are not pure conscious, pure service attitude. There is some controlling thing also. So Prabhupada writes And both Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also writes this example. Ganges is meant for purification of everyone. Now, on the bank of river Ganges, there is a mango tree and there is also a neem tree. The fruits of mango are very sweet. Mango tree are very sweet. And the fruits of nimba tree, they are very bitter. So, is it both of these trees are getting nourishment from Ganges water only? So, is it the mistake of Ganges that it is empowering one tree to give sweet fruits? It is empowering another tree to give bitter fruits. It is not the mistake of Ganges. It is the quality of the receiver of that water. Similarly, Lord is equal to everyone. However, different people receive him and perceive him in different ways. So accordingly, they manifest certain qualities. Right? The condemned bitterness of Nimba is due to its own past work. Just as the sweetness of mango is also due to its own karma. So there are some people who worship the Supreme Lord without desire for material benefit, but to attain unalloyed devotional service. But persons who are averse to Lord's worship are condemned by their own actions. So like the different people approach the Lord in different ways. These demigods like Yamaraj are there for unwanted conditioned souls who always engage in threatening tranquility of the kingdom of Godhead. Right? So Yamaraj is there to punish them. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the significance of these elements and their deities. So these elements are actually causeless inflictors of pain unto the living entities. They should be destroyed completely only because I have this material body with material elements of earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, ahankar, then buddhi, manas. So all these material elements are there. They are troubling. They are entrapping the soul within this material body, gross and subtle bodies. Are they not our enemies? So that is the question. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes. Answer is, elements are the causeless assistants and they should be worshipped. Only even if we have to practice devotional service, we should have a proper body. We should have necessary ingredients. If you have to offer some sacrificial paraphernalia to the Lord, where will that paraphernalia manifest from? That's a combination of all these elements. If you want to offer beautiful flowers to the deities, that is a transformation of earth element. Fragrance is there. Flowers are all coming from earth. So bhoga items, they are all coming from the earth. Right? And we offer lamp. We offer all these elements to the Lord. Right? We offer fragrance, dhoop, bhatti. So all these elements are causeless assistants in various processes, transcendental processes. Jnana, nishkama karma, and all these practices meant for liberation. And even the practice of bhakti yoga, developing prema, such as hearing and chanting, all these are accomplished with the assistance of these elements. And the predominating deities of these elements are definitely worshipable, because they are only providing the elements for practicing whatever regulative practices that we are doing. Right? So, actions which lead to hell and violence, and all these are accomplished by these elements. So, people go to bad destinations, right, through utilizing these elements in a wrong way. And people attain higher destinations also by utilizing these elements in the right way. So it is not the mistake of the elements. Just like we discussed the Ganges water example, it is empowering Nimba tree and mango tree. Similarly, the same Supreme Lord, if he is worshipped with material desires, the result is different. If he is worshipped with spiritual desires, the result is different. Similarly, these elements, when they are utilized for sense gratificatory purposes, they bestow a different result. When they are utilized for bhakti yoga, they bestow a different result. So it's up to the conditioned soul how he wants to use these elements with the use of his minute independence. Right? Elements in themselves are not villains. They are not entangling people in the material world. Now, why a significant portion of Bhagavatam is spared to describe the prayers of material elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, then touch, taste, etc., etc.? So, all these elements, their deities are offering prayers to the Lord, Mahavishnu. Their prayers are also very significant. They are exalted Vaishnavas. They are also assisting the Lord in fulfilling the purpose of this creation. Right? So, devatas of elements are advanced Vaishnavas, Prabhupada says. These presiding deities of elements such as Mahatattva are called portions of Vishnu since they function by Maya Shakti. So at this stage, because they were not connected with each other, they were not mixed with each other, they were unable to perform their creative activities, so they began praising the Lord. By the inconceivable will of the Lord, they suddenly possessed all senses and bodies to do this. This I already mentioned. This shows that they are completely dependent on Lord's will. Now we will see what prayers they offered. So far the flow is clear. Morning 3.5 we discussed, Vidura went to Maitreya and he offered dandavas and he glorified Maitreya. He asked so many questions about Bhakti Yoga, about Purushavataras, Leelavataras, about various planets, about various forms that the Lord manifested. And he glorified the entire process of Krishna Katha very nicely. And he requested Maitreya to begin with the description of Purushavataras. Then Maitreya Muni in turn glorified Vidura so much that he is having such a high parentage, he has such exalted consciousness, his father is Vyasadeva, he was Yamaraj in his previous position, and all his questions are meant for the welfare of people in general. Then he started answering the first question about Purushavataras. Then he explained how the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is the cause of this entire creation process, how he was existent before the creation of anything. Then he glanced over the material nature, and that material nature transformed into Mahatattva, and Mahatattva got transformed into false ego, Ahankara. All this is happening by the influence of time and Lord's glance, and that Ahankara in three modes gave rise to 23 elements. And these elements have their presiding deities, and those deities are offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, so that they can combine with each other and perform the creative activities. That is the flow so far. Now let's see what are their prayers. Deva uchuhu namamate deva padaravindam prapannata popashamata patram yanmulaketa yatayonjasorum samsara dukham bahirukshipanti namamate deva padaravindam prapannata popashamata patram yanmulaketa yatayonjasorum samsara dukham bahirukshipanti. Now they say, namamate deva padaravindam. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, we offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Te deva padaravindam. And what is the glory of that lotus feet? Prapanna tapopashamata patram. Prapanna means a surrendered soul. For surrendered souls, those lotus feet would act as tapatraya upashama atapatram. Atapatram means umbrella. Umbrella protects a person from rain. Now this umbrella of lotus feet of the Lord would protect the surrendered soul from the rain of tapatraya. Prapanna tapopashama atapatram. Yan mulaketa yatayonjasoru samsara dukham bahirutkshipanti. If one surrenders to the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, anjasa, very easily, Uru samsara. Samsara is this material existence. Uru samsara means very great and dangerous material existence. Uru samsara dukkham. So the distress which this material existence offers is extremely intolerable. So anjasa, very easily utkshipanti, he can throw away all those miseries. A surrendered soul can throw away all these material miseries very easily if he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That acts like umbrella that can protect a person from rain. Just like Krishna lifted Govardhan hill, that protected all the Vrajavasis from the rains of Indra. Similarly, if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, those lotus feet will act as umbrella that can protect one from the rain of threefold miseries, the storm of threefold miseries. Prabhupada writes, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, even if there were no devotees present in the beginning of creation, by the knowledge of the conclusion of scriptures, these truths are known to these people. So the deities of these elements, how are they offering this prayer? Your feet acts like umbrella. Umbrella has not yet been created only. It is the beginning of the creation. No material objects were present. Right? To create an umbrella, the creation should progress. At that time, nothing was there. Only the ingredients were there. It's like making a sabji. So we get, haldi, then bengan, then tomato, and then what is that called? Mustard, seeds, oil, etc., etc., kadi patta, all that we get to mix all of them to make a sabji. Now all these ingredients are separately existing. They have not yet mixed with each other. Not a single body was formed. They are speaking about the process. Process also has not yet begun. Right? First the universe has to be existent for some system to get implemented there. Right? Nothing was existing. But because these deities of elements are the knowers of past, present and future, and in the previous creations also many things like this have happened, so they got the knowledge to offer these prayers. And in these prayers they give so many examples also. Right? So one may not question that how are they using all these examples in the beginning of creation when nothing was existent. So first they glorified the Lord as someone who can remove the distresses of devotees. That's what the Lord is. Even the Prachetas offer these prayers. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya nirupito dara guna vayaya mano vacho vega purojavaya sarvakshamargairagata dhane namah. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya. The Supreme Lord is glorified as one who can completely vanquish all the miseries of the surrendered souls. Klesha vinashanaya. Nirupita udara gunahvayaya. The Supreme Lord's gunas and names are very magnanimous. Nirupita udara gunahvayaya. Guna is qualities and ahvayaya means names. Lord's names and qualities are extremely magnanimous and this conclusion has already been settled. Nirupita. It's proved. In the mathematics theorem you write, hence proved, right? So Lord is magnanimous. His qualities are magnanimous. His names are magnanimous, hence proved. So it is nirupita. So they are glorifying the magnanimity aspect or the mercy aspect or the protection aspect of the Lord in the first prayer. Many sages and saints engage in trying to conquer rebirth and material miseries. Of all of them, those who take shelter of the lotus feet can completely throw away all these miseries. One beautiful verse comes in the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayi me prasango bhuyadananta mahatam amalashayanam yenan jasolbana muruvyasanam bhavabdhim neshye bhavadgunakatham rutapanamattah. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayi me prasango. My dear Lord, I just want the association of your devotees. And in the association of your devotees, what am I planning to do? I just want to hear your glories in their association. Now the Lord may ask, oh, you are asking, I am standing right in front of you. You are not asking me liberation. You are not asking me freedom from this material existence. And you are asking me just association of devotees and hearing Krishna Katha. How will you be delivered from this material existence? Then he says, Neshya bhavat gunakathamrata panamattaha. I am already intoxicated by hearing the glories of your lotus feet. Pana mattaha, I am intoxicated. And if I get the association of your devotees who constantly glorify Krishna Katha, my intoxication will increase. And Neshe, to just cross over this material existence becomes an insignificant byproduct of that hearing process. So I have no worry of crossing over this material existence. I am just concerned about hearing Krishna Katha in the association of your devotees. So crossing over the material ocean happens without any difficulty if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So others who are engaged in transcendental activities in different ways, it's very difficult. Prabhupada says, they are sure to fall down again to material existence. Morning we discussed that verse. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grititam udgrathayanti santa tadvanna riktamadayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhaja vasudevam. Other people who do not practice bhakti yoga, even if they endeavor a lot, they cannot even control their senses, what to speak of crossing over this material existence. Can anyone who cannot control his senses can cross over this material existence? And now, why we have to give any importance to the words of these demigods? Prabhupada gives four reasons. Number one, knowledge. They are well versed with Vedic knowledge. That is very much evident from their prayers. Number two, experience. They can see the past, present and future. Number three, their position and power. Position is, they are holding very important positions in the universal administrative system. They are not ordinary people. Someone at a higher level of hierarchy in the tree of management system, so his words will carry certain value, right? And authorization, they are appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in such confidential service. So their words are very valuable. So the value of a sound vibration depends on the person who is vibrating that sound. Anyone and everyone may say different things, but those words get some value to the extent the person has some value. So here the demigods are such exalted souls, that is why their words have to be taken very seriously. Prabhupada is very wonderfully pointing that out. Next they say, Dhatarjadasmin bhava isha jivaha tapatrayena abhihitana sharma atman labhante bhagavam stavangri chayam savidyam ata ashrayema dhatarjadasmin bhava isha jivaha tapatrayena abhihitana sharma atman labhante bhagavam stavangri chayam savidyam ata ashrayema.
O Father, O Lord, O Personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also thus take shelter of them.
Now, last purport we have understood that we have to take the words of these demigods very seriously, right? Very important. Now see what they are saying. Dhatar yadaste yadasmin bhava isha jivaha tapatrayana abhitena sharma. My dear Lord, in this material world, which is going to manifest in some time, the conditioned souls will definitely undergo threefold miseries. Even before the creation, the devatas, the predominating deities of all the elements of this material creation, they are ensuring that there will be only miseries in this material world. Threefold miseries are guaranteed in this material world, that they are saying. So we have to be very cautious about that. So overwhelmed by this tapatraya, the jivas can never have any happiness. Can never have any happiness. Next, therefore we take shelter of your lotus feet. So is there any solution? Because they are experiencing threefold miseries, there should be some solution. The solution is taking shelter of the lotus feet. And why there are miseries? Because there is ignorance. And what is that ignorance? Ignorance of one's own constitutional position as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am a servant of Krishna. This knowledge is lacking in all conditioned souls. They are ignorant of this. If one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, that lotus feet of the Lord will act as the source of all knowledge.
Right?
That will enlighten the conditioned soul. That's what is mentioned here. So therefore we take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which is full of knowledge. Savidyam. Chayam savidyam ata ashrayema. The shade of the lotus feet of the Lord will offer knowledge to the Lord. So lotus feet of the Lord will vanquish miseries. That is first verse. Lotus feet of the Lord will award knowledge. That is the second verse.
Right.
And the shade of the lotus feet, especially Krishna's lotus feet, he doesn't stand straight. He has one leg like this. Right, you see, Vrindavan Chandra, one leg. So there is shade, shadow coming there. So if we take shelter of that shadow of the lotus feet of Krishna, then that acts as source of knowledge, according to this verse of Bhagavatam. So therefore, they take shelter of the shade of his lotus feet. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. Taking shelter of the shade of lotus feet, is it too sentimental, becoming too poetic? Prabhupada immediately clarifies that. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. It's the path of reality, by which the living entity can enter transcendental happiness of being freed from three miseries. It's not sentimental. It's not just some material emotion. It's not imagination. It's assurance given by the Srimad Bhagavatam directly. Right? Bhagavatam unnecessarily does not give false promises. Right? It only starts acting to the extent one has faith in those words. Happiness in the material world is the hard struggle to get free from threefold miseries. In the third canto, Kapil Dev mentions one beautiful verse. What is happiness in this world? One tries to mitigate his miseries, and if he is successful enough to mitigate even 1% of his misery, he considers it greatest happiness. Right? Someone is swimming in an ocean. Ocean's expanse is several kilometers wide and several thousands of kilometers lengthwise, breadthwise. It's very expansive. So someone is swimming in that ocean to find the shore. He's not finding the shore. And he would just find some wooden log floating on the ocean. So he will swim for a few more kilometers and then finally reach that wooden log. Then he will feel relief. That is happiness for him. And after 5 minutes, that wooden log will start sinking. Right? And then he will swim. Then he will find a small boat there. Right? Which is rowed by, you know, 2-3 other people who are also similarly struggling. Then finally, somehow after swimming for 10 kilometers, he is rarely seeing that, and then he reaches there and those people will just push him out. You cannot enter. Right? So the sight of that boat will give him some hope. That is the happiness. And even if those people who are trying to take him inside the boat, mercifully, they would take inside, right? After 10 minutes, he will find that there is a hole in the boat. Right? And boat will start sinking along with all these 4 people. And there is quarrel amongst these 4 people. Then again, misery. So like that, life is a series of hundreds and thousands of miseries. And somewhere in the middle, you will see some mitigation of 1 or 2 miseries. And that is the greatest happiness for him. Just his endeavor to counteract miseries is the source of happiness for a living entity in this material world. Otherwise, not much happiness. Someone was saying that the 40% of happiness in this world comes by passing stool, and 44% of happiness comes by passing urine. And whatever happiness is there in this entire world is the remaining 20%. I didn't find a reference, but someone said it makes sense also. Right? So happiness in this material world is just hard struggle to get free from threefold miseries. Only one way by which one can be rescued, that is accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So Kumara say, after that, Atyatpada Pankaja Parasa Vilasa Bhaktya, that verse, another beautiful verse comes. That is, Krutsro Mahan, right? Krutsro Mahan Niha Bhavar Navama Plavesham Shadvargana Kramasukhe Natiti Rishanti Tattvam Harer Bhagavato Bhajaniya Mangrim Krutvodupam Vyasanamuttara Dustararanam. Krutsro Mahan Iha Bhavarnavam Aplavesham. This material existence is like Arnavam, great ocean. Shadvarga Nakram Asukhena Titirishanti. Shadvargam, this material ocean is filled with so many whales and so many sharks. Who are the sharks? Shadvarga. These six anarthas, these are, and six senses, they are compared to sharks in this material ocean. They are constantly attacking the person who is trying to come out of this ocean. They're constantly wounding him and causing him to bleed and making him to stay in this ocean only, not allowing to go out. Right? Sometimes they bite his legs, sometimes they bite his hands like that. So they will make him stay there only. So Shadvarga Nakrama Sukhena Titirishanti, but still he is unable to come out of this, but coming out will become easy if he accepts a very strong boat. What is that? Shadvargana Kramashukena Titirishanti Tattvam Harer Bhagavato Bhajaniya Mangrim. If one is fortunate enough to get an opportunity to worship the lotus feet of the Lord, he can very easily cross over this material ocean. So we can't, while swimming the ocean, we can't rely on boats that have holes, that are filled with passengers who are very envious of each other, right? That will, and the ocean is infested with so many sharks, we don't know when they will attack. So it's difficult to cross the ocean in that contest. So we need a proper boat in which there is a strong captain, bona fide guru from a Vaishnava Sampradaya, and the passengers in the boat are very cooperative and very kind, devotees association. And the boat itself is so strong, which is the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So with that we can easily cross over the material ocean. So here, the lotus feet is considered the source of all knowledge. Without worshipping your lotus feet, the jivas do not get place in material world, even if they have knowledge. Knowledge only exists in the shade of your lotus feet and nowhere else. Okay. Next, empirical philosophical speculation cannot give one relief from threefold miseries. Next, 41st verse. Marganti yatte mukhapadmanidaihim. Chandas suparnai rishayo vivikte yasya ghamarshoda saridvaraya padam padam tirtha pada prapanna. This is a beautiful verse that glorifies the lotus feet of the Lord. Marganti yatte mukhapadma nidai. Mukhapadma means lotus face of the Lord. Now a discussion about lotus face is also coming now. Chandas suparnai rishayo vivikte. Marganti means they search. Who searches? A sage, a wonderful devotee. So they would search after what? Mukhapadma nidaihi. They search for the lotus face of the Lord. So great clear-minded sages are devotees, pure devotees, advanced devotees. They are like beautiful birds who fly with the wings of Vedic sound vibrations and search for the lotus face of the Lord. And here the Supreme Lord is compared to a tree. And the crown of the tree is compared to the lotus face of the Lord, and the root of the tree or the bottom of the tree is compared to the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? This comparison is clear. Lord is the tree, his lotus feet are the tree trunk or tree root. And the crown of the tree, the branches and the top portion of the tree is the lotus face of the Lord. So who will go on the branches of the tree, on the crown of the tree? Birds. Birds will not stay under the tree. Birds will make a nest on the top of the tree and stay there. Right? So clear-minded sages, advanced Vaishnavas are compared to those birds who travel towards the lotus face of the Lord or the crown of the tree and make a nest there and stay there. And how do they travel? With the help of Vedic sound, Vedic wings. And there are some travelers. Travelers traverse the path which is shown by the shadow of these birds, and following the shadow of the birds, they will reach the base of the tree and they take shelter of the shade of the tree. Means they take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So advanced devotees relish the beauty of the lotus face, and practicing devotees are, who are not so advanced devotees, they follow in the teachings or footsteps of advanced devotees and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the meaning of this verse. Yasyaha marshoda saridvaraya. And taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord also means taking shelter of the river that is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, that is Ganges. Saridvaraya, that is the best of all rivers. Yasya aghamarshoda saridvaraya. Aghamarshoda saridvaraya means that best of rivers that can vanquish all sinful activities. Yasya aghamarshoda saridvaraya padam padam tirtha pada prapannaha. So that's how one should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So some great souls surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord by taking shelter of the Ganges river. And that lotus feet is also the source of places of pilgrimage, tirtha padaha. Prapanna means one who is surrendered. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in this purport, "We surrender to your lotus feet, a place of pilgrimage, which the sages seek. By what means do they search? They search by the birds of Vedas. Now there are two ladders of happiness constructed by Lord's mercy to attain the vision of Lord's lotus feet. One, sages worship and attain you after understanding the conclusion of Vedas that spring from your mouth. Two, by worshipping Ganga, whose water destroys all sins, we attain feet from which Ganges emanates." Now worshipping the Lord can happen in two ways. One, by taking shelter of Ganges coming from the lotus feet, by taking shelter of the Ganges of Vedic sound coming from his lotus face. So this one verse and this analogy can be extended in various ways. The example that is given here. So from the lotus face only Vedic sounds emanate. So some devotees take shelter of that. So Paramahamsas are like royal swans who make their nests on the lotus petals. Paramahamsas make nest on the lotus face. They seek shelter of the lotus feet and they reach by the wings of Vedic wisdom. Like that. So Prabhupada also compares that river Ganges and Bhagavad Gita, both are actually same. Both are potent in purifying a person who takes shelter of them. He quotes Shankaracharya and says that little knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and drinking little Ganges water can save one from the punishment of Yamaraj. So that's how this verse is explained. Now 42nd verse. Tat shraddhaya srutavatya cha bhaktya samrajyamane hridaye vadhaya jnanena vairagya balena dhidhiram vrajema tatte ngri saroja peetham yat shraddhaya srutavatya cha bhaktya. Simply by hearing about your lotus feet with eagerness and devotion and by meditating upon the lotus feet within the heart, what is the result? Jnanena vairagya balena dhira. One is enlightened with knowledge and one is endowed with detachment, and on the strength of the detachment one becomes pacified. Jnanena vairagya balena dhira. Vairagya balena. By the strength of detachment, dhira, he'll become dhira, he'll become sober, he'll become pacified. So, vrajema tattengri saroja peetham. So, we must take shelter of your lotus feet, the sanctuary of your lotus feet, peetham. Lord's lotus feet are placed on a very nice cushion table, right? Saroja peetham. So, on that peetham, Lord's lotus feet will rest, and onto that peetham, millions of controllers of so many planets would come and offer obeisances. They will place their helmets on that peetham. So that is the glory of Lord's lotus feet. Susamrijyamane hridaye vadhaya yat shraddhaya shrutavatya cha bhaktya. So this is the glory of Lord's lotus feet. Prabhupada explains the miracles of meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. Miracles. So the disturbed materialistic minds with a little eagerness for hearing the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc. can surpass all other methods of attaining knowledge and detachment. So actual knowledge and detachment are obtained by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord or worshipping the Supreme Lord and the entire process of devotional service. Right? So Vasudeva Bhakti will bestow Ahaituki knowledge and detachment. Right? So culture of self-knowledge can bring detachment from material affection. Most stubborn attachment is for material enjoyment in sex life. So devotional service entails being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and accepted by regularly hearing from him. So Prabhupada also emphasizes that yat shraddhaya shrutavachya cha bhaktya. So bhakti is mentioned, shravanam is mentioned. All this will happen when one surrenders to a guru. Right? Hear from a bona fide guru. Like that. Next, 43rd verse. Vishvasya janma sthiti samyamarthe kritavatarasya padambujam te vrajema sarve sharanam yadisha smritam prayachatyabhayam svapumsam.
O Lord, you assume incarnations for the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, we all take shelter of your lotus feet because they always award remembrance and courage to your devotees.
So here, the Lord is the source of these gunavataras, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So demigods further glorify him as the source of gunavataras. So in the 43rd verse, they recollect Lord's mercy to the devotees in order to show how easy this process of bhakti is. Vishvasya janma sthiti samyamarthe. This vishwa is created, janma is there, sthiti, it's maintained, samyamarthe. Samyama means withdrawing. So Lord does these three through his incarnations. Krita avatarasya padambujamte. Krita avatarasya. You incarnate yourself as gunavataras and you only do sthiti, samyama and this janma of this universe. Vrajema sarve sharanam yadisha smritam prapritchati abhayam svapumsam. And by taking shelter of that lotus feet, one is awarded remembrance and one is also awarded courage, abhayam. So abhayam is there by taking shelter of Lord's lotus feet. So Lord's lotus feet would award remembrance, smritam, and abhayam, courage to the devotees. So Prabhupada is writing, demigods are directly referring to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and not the incarnations here. They say that you only accept incarnations and come. Krita avataram. So they are not offering obeisances to avataras. This prayer is to the source of avataras. Right? So who is the source of all avataras within this world? Purusha avataras. Purusha, Mahavishnu. And who is his source? Krishna ultimately, fountainhead of all incarnations. So incarnation of Vishnu in the material world is directly worshipped by demigods. And sometimes it seems that Brahma and Shiva are taking side of the demons. So Prabhupada writes that although these Brahma and Shiva are the incarnations of the Lord, they seem to be taking side of the demons because they want to gain control over the demons, not actually to favor them. It's not... they are one with them in interest. But they seem to take their side just to gain control over them. Next, 44th verse. Yatsanu bandhe sati deha gehe mamahamityodha duragruhanam pumsam suduram vasato pipuryam bhajema tatte ghrisa bhajema tatte bhagavan padabjam.
O Lord, persons who are entangled by undesirable eagerness for the temporary body and kinsmen, and who are bound by thoughts of mine and I, are unable to see you, your lotus feet, although your lotus feet are situated within their own bodies. But let us take shelter of your lotus feet.
So in the last 5 verses, they glorified the shelter of Lord's lotus feet. Verse 39th verse, they compared it to be umbrella that protects from threefold miseries. 40th verse, they said the shade of the lotus feet is the source of knowledge. 41st verse, they say, Esyaghamarshoda Saridvaraya. So many elements are there in that verse. What is specific to the lotus feet is, that is the source of Ganges that will remove all sinful activities. Then 42nd verse, they said, these lotus feet would reveal knowledge and detachment. Then 43rd verse, they award smriti and abhayam, remembrance and detachment, courage. From now onwards, they explain who are the qualified candidates to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, who do not take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So 44th verse, they say, who cannot approach? Yat sanubandhe asati deha gehe. One who is so absorbed in the materialistic family life and so attached to household affairs, asati deha gehe, mamaham, one who is so much imbued with conceptions of I and mine, ityodha duragrahanam, they can never approach the lotus feet of the Lord. For them, lotus feet of the Lord taking shelter, it doesn't make sense to them. Pumsam suduram vasatopi puryam, for such people you are so far, suduram, although vasatopi puryam. Puri means this. Puri actually city. Puri means this body. The city of 9 gates. So vasatopi puryam. Although the Lord with his wonderful lotus feet is staying right within their bodies, he is so far from them. Because they are attached. Bhajema tatte bhagavan padabjam. So we will take shelter of lotus feet. Right? We should worship the lotus feet. But that lotus feet is inaccessible to those who are attached to I and mine conceptions. So the aim of Vedic philosophy is to free one from the gross and subtle bodily conception. So there is gross bodily conception of identifying oneself with this body made of earth, water, fire, ether. There is subtle bodily conception, that is to identify oneself with one's subtle body. My mind, whatever my mind says, my mental concoctions are me. All my intellectual convictions are me. All my egoistic conceptions are me. So one starts identifying with this subtle body, functionings of the subtle body. So identifying oneself with the gross body is gross bodily conception. Identifying oneself with the subtle body is the subtle bodily conception. One who is in this bodily conception, whether it is gross or subtle, that is material bodily conception only, such people cannot understand the lotus feet of the Lord. Such people cannot actually take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So the impetus for lording over is this sense of I and mine. Right? So philosophy of aham mama, the conception that I am everything, will make one disqualified for liberation from material bondage. Prabhupada says, what is the hope for them? Hearing Krishna Katha. Even a person perpetually condemned to miseries of material existence can get relief from bondage if he simply agrees to hear Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha is the source of deliverance. In Kali Yuga, hearing process is most effective means to gain release from unwanted family affection and thus find permanent freedom in life. So Krishna is, Kali is full of sinful reactions. Krishna is merciful enough to give us this process of hearing and chanting. By that, one is sure to go back to Godhead just by hearing Krishna Katha. 45th verse. Tanvaihya sadvritti bhirakshi bhirye parahritantar manasah paresah athona pashyanti rugaya noonam yete padanyasa vilasa lakshya.
O great Supreme Lord, offensive persons whose internal vision has been too affected by external materialistic activities cannot see your lotus feet, but they are seen by your pure devotees whose one and only aim is to transcendentally enjoy your activities.
So further they continue, who cannot see the lotus feet of the Lord? Tanvaihi asadvrittibhir akshibhirye. One's internal vision is affected by external material activities. So externally one is involved in so many things that creates an impression on the mind, impression on the subtle body. The activities that one does with gross body will create an impression on the subtle body. And the impressions that are carried by the subtle body will act, will influence the gross body to act in such a way, in certain ways. So like that it's a vicious circle. Gross body will influence the subtle body will influence the gross body. Like that one is entangled in the material existence. Right? So for such people, they cannot see your lotus feet, see the Lord's lotus feet. Athona pashyati, they cannot see. Urugaya nunam yete padanyasa vilasa lakshyaha. But they are seen by your pure devotees whose only aim is to transcendentally enjoy your activities. Padanyasa vilasa lakshyaha. Their lakshya, their goal is just to see the pure activities of the Lord. Such people can see, but others cannot see. Kunti Maharani says, ta eva pashyanti. Srinvanti gayanti gridanti abhikshnasaha smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha ta eva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. So one who hears Krishna katha, one who glorifies him, and one who worships him, one who remembers him, one who takes pleasure when others are glorifying Krishna katha, so such people can easily see the lotus feet of the Lord. Taya eva pashyanti achirena, very soon they can cross over the material existence also. Some yogis, Prabhupada is writing in this purport, some yogis misunderstand the goal as realization of individual consciousness and not the Lord's lotus feet. So, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. Although the Lord is in one's own heart, one who is too absorbed in material activities cannot see him. So, what is the difference between offenders and innocent common men? Prabhupada discriminates. Those who cannot see the lotus feet of the Lord could be innocent materialistic people because they don't know that they have to see the lotus feet of the Lord. But there are offenders. So innocent common men, they are influenced by the presence of a devotee. For example, Mrigari is there, a hunter. He doesn't know what is the goal of life, how to utilize his human life, etc. He is just half killing animals because his father taught him like that. So Narada Muni came and informed him, this is not the way you should live. Then he taught him some things and then he immediately accepted it. So devotee's presence will influence an innocent common man and they can take up to the process of devotional service. On the other hand, there are some offenders. They lose chance to receive devotees. Just like Nalakuvar and Manigriva are there. They have knowledge. It's not that they are like innocent or ignorant hunter kind of people. But they could not appreciate the presence of Narada Muni. What is he doing here? Narada Muni was thinking, what are they doing here? In the holy Mandakini river, being the sons of Kuvera, being the associates of Lord Shiva, in the holy Mandakini river, what kind of activity they are doing? Narada Muni is surprised. And seeing Narada Muni, they are surprised. We are enjoying here and then what is he doing? Why is he coming here? Disturbing our thing. Right? So Narada Muni told them, you can go to Vrindavan, but as trees. And you get an opportunity to witness Krishna's pastimes and Krishna will deliver you. So Krishna also, Narada Muni contemplated for their future welfare. So offenders, their hope is also devotees' mercy. But they get in a different way. But innocent common men, their hope is also devotees' association only. They can appreciate that association and they can take immediate advantage of that association. But offenders, they cannot take immediate advantage. They have to undergo something. So that is the misfortune of offenders. Due to their offenses and extreme materialism, they can't see even devotees. They engage in external activities and kill the internal vision. But the extreme mercy of devotees is they don't mind offenses of those people and they continue to bestow blessings. Just like Narada Muni bestowed blessings upon Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Next, 46th verse. They glorify the process of hearing in this 46th verse. Panena te deva katha sudhayam pravruddha bhaktya vishadashayaye vairagya saram pratilabhya bodham yathanjasayin viyurakuntha dhishnyam.
O Lord, persons who, because of their serious attitude, attain the stage of enlightened devotional service, achieve the complete meaning of renunciation and knowledge, and attain the Vaikuntha Loka in the spiritual sky simply by drinking the nectar of your topics.
Panena te deva katha sudhayam. Panena means drinking. Drinking what? Te deva katha sudhayam. Your glorious activities and katha, if they drink through their ears, so ears will act as mouth also to drink. Ears will act as eyes also to see. Shastra Chakshu and all. We will see more of it in the 9th chapter of the same canto tomorrow. Panena te deva katha sudhayaha pravruddha bhaktyaha. If one drinks the narrations of the Supreme Lord through their ears, pravruddha bhaktyaha, their devotion will increase. Pravruddhi. They are highly enlightened. Vishadashayaye. And Vishada Ashaya, they have a very serious attitude and aspiration in doing that. So, Vairagya Saram Pratilabhya Bodham Yathanjasa Anviyur Akuntha Dhishnyam. Understanding the essence of renunciation, getting enlightened by that, they can easily attain the lotus feet of the Lord, attain the abode of the Lord, spiritual sky, simply by oral reception, drinking the nectar. Right? So, hearing about the Lord, drinking the narrations of the Lord through ears will purify one's polluted aspirations of life and plant seeds of the right aspirations of going back to Godhead, and they will be enabled to go to the spiritual world eventually. In the second canto also, Sukadeva Goswami says, Pibantiye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamrutam shravanaputeshu sambhritam punantite vishaya vidushitasayam vrajantita charana saroruhantikam. Pibantiye, if one drinks bhagavata atmanasatam kathamrutam shravanaputeshu, through one's shravanaputa ear holes, if one hears Krishna katha, what will happen? Punantite vishaya vidushitasayam. In the material world, one's ashaya, aspirations or desires are polluted by material enjoyment. Vishaya vidushita. So that pollution is removed. Then vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. They can easily attain the lotus feet of the Lord. All this will happen by drinking Krishna katha. Same theme is mentioned here. Panena te deva katha sudhayam pravruddha bhaktya. The word ashaya is also coming here. So Prabhupada is writing that pure devotees are much superior to impersonalistic mental speculators. Impersonalists pass through a miserable understanding of absolute truth. Even Bhagavad Gita also says, Kleshodhagatarastesham avyakta sakta tetasam avyakta higatir dukkham dehavadbhiravapyate. So they say that Kleshodhagatarastesham, they have a big process that they follow that is filled with so much of austerity, etc. But ultimately, they only attain a meager purpose of merging into impersonal Brahman or something like that, and they will again come back to this material platform also. So just as devotees are very happy from beginning of practice, the jnanis are full of misery from beginning of practice. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Devotees enter into the kingdom of all pleasures even from beginning of their attempt. The goal and the means, both are same. The goal, the means is to hear Krishna Katha, to chant the holy names, to worship the Lord, to remember the Lord. So all this Nava, Vida, Bhakti, Margas, we discuss, right? Savanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And after attaining perfection also, the perfected beings are also doing the same. Go to Vaikuntha, they are just discussing Krishna Katha. Go to Goloka, they are just discussing Krishna's activities. Yashoda Mai and all the gopis, they sit together and discuss about Krishna. Right? So, morning also we discussed. Krishna Rama Katham Mudam Kurvanto Ramamanascha. That is the activity of Vrindavan Vasis. And Harikatham eva gayamani, that is the activity of Vaikuntha Vasis. And the sadhakas, what they do? They hear and chant in a regulated way. So that hearing about Krishna, relishing his activities, that is there in the perfected stage and practicing stage also. And both are very pleasurable. Devotees has only to hear about devotional activities, and acts are very simple. And mental speculator has to pass through a jugglery of words. With a serious attitude, devotee throws away all achievements such as so much dust and accepts only devotional service, the transcendental culmination. Tatha pare chatma samadhi yoga balena jitva prakritim balishtham tvameva dhiraah purusham vishanti tesham shramasya natu sevayate.
Others who are pacified by means of transcendental self-realization and have conquered over the modes of nature by dint of strong power and knowledge also enter into you, but for them there is much pain, whereas the devotee simply discharges devotional service and thus feels no such pain.
So they give a difference between the demigods and between the devotees and followers of other paths. So all these other path people, so there is sufficient labor for devotees also, but that is compensated by discharging devotional service. And the other part, there is no compensation. Right? So, but that is compensated by enhancement of transcendental pleasure in service. So one may think that why there is, although there is a lot of promise given here, why there is no experience of bliss? Compensated by transcendental pleasure in service. Prabhupada says, there is definitely some austerity involved in practicing bhakti also, but that is compensated by transcendental pleasure. Yes, to some extent, Krishna gives us glimpses of pleasure. But Krishna, right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, only it is revealed that how to experience that bliss, how to experience that pleasure while practicing bhakti. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje. The highest occupational duty of all humanity is to perform devotional service. That we have learned right in the beginning of Bhagavatam. And how that devotional service has to be performed? Ahai tuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. If that devotional service is performed without any motivations, ahai tuki, without any selfish agendas, without any personal motivations, ulterior motives, and if it is performed without any desire for breaks, apratihata, then yayatma suprasidati, the atma is completely satisfied. One experiences full bliss and pleasure when he performs devotional service like that. So to the extent one is devoid of ulterior motives, devoid of any selfish desires, to the extent one is not desiring any breaks in devotional service, to that extent he experiences that bliss or pleasure or satisfaction in devotional service. Right? To the extent one is having this ulterior motives and personal desires and selfish agendas and desiring breaks, to that extent, he is depriving one's soul of the pleasure promised in devotional service. So that bliss is there, which compensates the austerity. So there is a lot of difficulty devotee has to undergo. For example, Madhavendra Puri had to undergo so much of difficulty in bringing that chandan from Puri all the way to Vrindavan. But there is only bliss for him. Whatever difficulty is there on an external platform, that is the biggest source of my bliss because I am working for Krishna. Right? So there is difficulty, there is austerity, but all that austerities and difficulties and miseries will become source of bliss for a devotee because he has no ulterior motives. He has no personal desires for sense gratification. He has the attitude of performing bhakti with ahaituki and apratihata intention. Ahaituki, no personal motivation, apratihata, no breaks. To the extent one performs devotional service like that, to that extent there is satisfaction, there is bliss. So at individual level, every sadhaka can make a baby step to make his bhakti ahaituki and apratihata. Whenever there is an opportunity to take a break, maybe let me skip this break. Let me do them some service in that break also. Right? Some personal agenda, some selfish desire is springing out from the mind. Okay, let me just keep it aside. Let me just selflessly try to do this. So we take our baby steps to cultivate this attitude of rendering service without any personal motivation. That's a very high platform, but at every person's level, he can make a step. Right? So that sufficient labor for devotees is compensated by enhancement of transcendental pleasure. Much trouble for other people. And after much trouble, impersonalists, what result they get? So much trouble, and the result is ayujya. No action there. Just keep silence. So devotees keep their individuality to exchange feelings in relationship with the Supreme Individual Lord. And the process is filled with lot of pleasure, and the destination is the highest, the topmost one can imagine. And that is the devotee's path. And impersonalist path is process is filled with so much difficulty and is very meager result. Right? You pay 1 crore for the so-and-so product and it will work for 2 days and it will break down. And on the other hand, you just pay 10 rupees for this product, it will last for, you know, 1 century. It's like that. That is the difference. Now, after explaining all this, the demigods pray for enlightenment and directions. This is the most important section. Tattevayam lokasisrikshayadya Tvayanusrishta sthribhiratma bhisma Sarve vyukta svavihara tantram Nashaknumastat pratiharta vete.
O original person, we are therefore but yours only. Although we are your creatures, we are born one after another under the influence of the 3 modes of nature. And for this reason, we are separated in action. Therefore, after the creation, we could not act concertedly for your transcendental pleasure.
Mm. Now they are saying, we are yours. From here onwards, they offer prayers for service, specific to the service. We can learn a lot of lessons from their attitude. In this particular verse, they say that, my dear Lord, we are yours. We belong to you. You are my master. Right? They say their sense of subordination and surrender and submissiveness to the Supreme Lord is very much evident in their words. Right? So they are saying that, my dear Lord, we want to serve you, we are yours, but we are unable to serve you. Their willingness to serve is there, but they are lacking the facility to serve. They are lacking the ability to serve. So if we have the willingness to render service, Krishna will bestow the facility and ability to render service. So service becomes difficult, not very much because of lack of facility or ability, more deeper than that, the deeper reason is lack of willingness to serve. Now these people, at that point they have no one to look at, but they are offering prayer to the Lord. We have willingness. Equipped with this willingness to render service, we are asking you for the ability and facility to render service. So that is their sense of subordination. They say that we are yours. We belong to you. Use us the way you want. And our greatest pleasure is to be utilized by you in whatever way you want. Next, they are also expressing a willingness to cooperate with other devotees. First, they have a personal willingness to render service. Second, they also have willingness to cooperate with other servants. They say that this is the beginning of creation and we are all separated from each other. Earth element is separate, fire element is separate, sky element is separate, fire, other elements are separate. Unless we come together and form bodies, we cannot serve you. We cannot take these creative activities forward. So we have to come together. So they are willing to come together. Now how they will come together? When devotees come together as a group to render service to Krishna, not that every single devotee will be given the topmost position. Right? In a drama, everybody is not hero. There is one hero. There are some supporting characters and there are other people. Right? Some have a small role to play, some have a big role to play. Some will come, appear only for 5 minutes, some is there throughout the drama. Right? So like that, different people have different roles to play. Similarly, in our material bodies, some bodies, earth element is prominent. Some bodies, fire element is prominent. Some bodies, air element is prominent. Now these elements are not fighting with each other. In every body, I only have to be the prominent element. They have a willingness to cooperate. They know that the Lord will create different bodies with different proportions of each of these elements. We cannot fight for prominence over each other. We have to take up the roles which are assigned to us in the service of the Lord and do justice to our own roles as much as possible in a humble way. So, trying for prominence and dominating other servants in Lord's service is not the attitude shown by these elements. And that is how the creation began. The creation began with cooperation amongst the material elements. And once the creation starts, within that creation, there is no cooperation amongst the conditioned souls. We can just observe our own material bodies. Right? Earth element has taken prominence. Other elements have taken a low profile. Go to some other bodies. Some other element has taken prominence. Other elements have not taken a low profile. So they are willing to play as much role as the Lord gives them. So the best policy is to act for the sake of the Lord, Prabhupada says. That will bring about the desired harmony. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, we, your servants, not attaining service are suffering. Being in a position where one cannot render service to the Lord is the biggest curse. Now, they are created. They are not saying that, oh, creation has not yet started. Lord also is not taking any action. Let us relax for a while. Once the creation starts, we have to constantly work. Let us relax. They are not saying that. We are eager to render service. We are eager for action. Please, if you delay in engaging us in service, we feel that we are wasting time. We feel that we are useless. So engage in our service. Right? We are suffering. They are suffering in separation from service to the Lord. We have been systematically created by you who desire to create the worlds and have natures of goodness, passion and ignorance. Because of having contrasting natures, we are disunited. Viyungta. So, create unity amongst us. So, they have the attitude of uniting with each other and cooperating with each other and participating in the creative activities as much as their role is expected. And they have a service attitude, willingness to render service. And now that attitude is seen here, submissiveness, surrender, cooperation, etc. is seen in this verse. And in the next verse, we see their gratitude. We'll take a break.